Hey, folks, thanks for tuning in to another episode of the BAMF podcast. I'm your host, Mike Lafferty, and here with me today we have the crew from, I'm looking at Game Room Creations.
Game Room Creations.
And that would be Kevin Webb. How you doing, sir?
Hey, how are you?
Mr. Jason Magnum, how you doing, sir?
Fine. How is everybody?
Magnum. I look at your name, I think Magnum. I'm sorry.
A lot of people do that.
I'm a child of the 80s. You probably heard all those jokes already.
Absolutely.
Mr. Chris Clark, how you doing, sir?
Doing great. How you doing?
Great. Thanks for joining us tonight. And we have Barry Spring. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Nice. Barry, I hate to be a Midwesterner and ask you the question you get once a week from an American, I'm sure, but where are you from, sir?
Originally the UK.
Oh,
so from East England.
I was kind of guessing, yeah.
It's okay. I get Australia. I get a few other strange ones, but yeah, originally the UK.
Nice. Okay, and hey, the reason you guys are here is because you all have stepped up. You know, you all manned up, like Eli Manning, like Peyton Manning, like the whole Manning family. He manned up, and you filled that huge void that was staring us in the face in the Pathfinder offerings. You guys have created modern products for the Pathfinder world. And thank God you did, because I was hoping someone did it for like the last year or so. So first off, thanks for doing that. And let's talk about what you got. The first one, kind of the, I guess, the daddy of them all so far, is the Modern Path Heroes of the Modern World 2.0. And that's a copper pick right now on RPG Now. So it looks like it's doing pretty well.
Yeah, it seems to have been picked up quite well. As you said, I mean, we're just a gaming group. We got together. We played numerous things. And like Pathfinder, and as you said, there was nothing out there for modern, so the only thing we could come up with was do it ourselves, so that's kind of what we did.
Oh, that's cool. How long have you guys been gaming together?
Years, actually, many years.
Are you going back to Clinton or Bush?
I go back to Carter.
Yes, I think I go back to Reagan, if I have to, pin it down.
I'll be the old people.
It's cool. You said Carter. I was thinking about the glory days with, Dukes of Hazzard and Evel Knievel.
Yep.
And yeah.
That was it.
Back in the day. Well, cool. All right. So you guys have kind of been gaming together for, three decades. I'm guessing you came up through second ed, third ed. Do you guys touch on fourth ed or go straight to Pathfinder?
Very briefly, but like many people, we just breezed right past it. Went right back to Pathfinder as soon as it came out.
I understand that. A lot of folks, that's why D&D Next is coming out.
I hope they do something.
Yeah. Well, hey, let's kind of dive into it a little bit. Let me, if I had never played a modern game before, how would you guys describe what you did with Modern Path 2.0 to me?
We were big friends of the Wizards D20 Modern.
Yeah,
we play that quite a bit, and then that kind of, when the Pathfinder rules became, it was evident that that was a lot better. We pretty much stuck with Pathfinder a lot, but we still love the modern genre. So, we kind of blended the two. We took a lot of what was in D20 Modern and just put it to Pathfinder rules. So kind of updated it, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Now, I'm guessing Modern Paths are the basic, and now the one you released here recently, the Modern Path Arcana of the Modern World. Is this, let's talk about this product before we go any further. This is, I'm guessing this is if a guy wants to play Harry Potter, Harry Dresden, Doctor Strange kind of character, this would be the book to go to?
Yeah. Dresden Files was heavy when I was thinking about writing this. There's a lot of books out nowadays that deal with just like a modern mystical setting. So
yeah, I've written a few myself. Well, let me ask you guys about your home campaign using this. So what are you guys running?
At the moment, nothing. we're kind of separated with work, kids, and all that kind of stuff. We wanted to start back up with Modern Path.
Okay. Well, that's cool. If you could play a game right now, what do you have in mind?
We were just talking about that. I think we're getting ready to start running our own game here, using our own rules and everything. So that's going to be fun. I think it's going to start up pretty soon here.
Are you guys thinking a particular genre, or are you still kind of hashing it out?
I think we're going to definitely try to incorporate the magic into it and keep it modern. The level of which we'll probably all get together. I think some of us like a higher magic level and some like more of a street level, grittier game with low magic. But we'll figure all that out. But
right.
Yeah, I think we want to move from just playtesting the rules and actually play a real campaign, so to speak, and get back into the fun of it, not crunching everything together just to, you know, get a product together. So,
and that's one thing that Jason says there is like, we between the four of us, we like different magic levels. So we know that everyone out there kind of likes different magic levels as well. And that's one of the things we were trying to do with that latest book, is just trying to accommodate everything from really high magic to pretty low end, and just where it touches on the verge of people uncovering magic or just getting used to magic. So we kind of tried to do the whole genre of high magic use to low magic use in that new book.
Okay. Yeah, I'm reading the description. It says you have three different spellcasting systems.
Yes. Well, only one is really kind of an original idea. The other one, we really just kind of tried to encourage people to use the existing Pathfinder magic system, which is perfectly fine. And then, you know, we tried to do kind of a hybrid, kind of a mid-level one, where using our new character system, but maybe taking magic in a slightly harder to use, you know, direction. But
how'd you get that?
We want to use a skill for actually casting magic,
okay.
Which is something that's kind of taken for granted in, you know, the old classic D&D and in Pathfinder. You have classes that can just, they have a set number of spells they can cast per day. Kind of wanted to add a little bit of a difficulty level to that and actually make a skill roll for it. And, we came up with that by just expanding the use of the actual spellcraft skill. So, you know, just kind of use that for what it was, I think it was originally intended for, because they do kind of touch on that in the Pathfinder rules, how if you have a particularly difficult spell to cast, you actually make a spellcraft check to see if you cast it successfully. And we just kind of did that for every single spell that you would cast, period. So.
Oh, cool. You guys, how do you handle clerics in the modern era?
Well, it depends on the system that you're going to use. If you are using the standard Pathfinder rules, then you know, you would use class abilities similar to the cleric and handle the spells pretty much off the cleric spell list. If you're going to use the new spellcrafter rules that we have introduced, there is an archetype called the conduit that pretty much is a lot like the cleric, where they received their abilities and their power through an extra dimensional or an extra planar source. So that's a lot like a cleric. So.
Oh, cool. Now, the reason I ask is I've been messing around with modern magic games for a while. I wrote some set in World War I and some set in the Bootlegger War era kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I was like the idea of playing like a kind of a hip flask, swigging, half-drunk, Southern Baptist cleric.
Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing.
You know, put on a Jimmy Swaggart accent and just ham it up.
Well, I think that's one of the unique things about our system that we've tried to come up with here is we have really approached all of this, the modern path. We've tried to approach it all from the aspect of being as versatile as we could possibly make it. So any kind of character combination or any kind of character concept that you can think of, we're hoping that you can, you know, build that with our character creation system. So.
Now, we got a Modern Arcana supplement that's come out. I'm wondering if you guys are going to be doing more supplements, you know, for other kind of genres.
We have thought about it. A lot of these things take a lot of work. You know, Kevin touched on the fact, you know, we have jobs and families and school, and we have our own things going on. So, you know, life doesn't stand still for us to write all this stuff out and crunch all this stuff together. And it takes, I think a lot of people will be surprised just how hard it is to do to put one of these books together.
Especially when you figure in layout and editing and playtesting and revising.
Yeah. That's something we are complete novices about. I know that's a lot of the flack that we catch is because of layout and design.
Art.
Art, our lack of art. But see, none of us are artists. You know, we're just gamers. That's all.
So we have looked at a number of things. I mean, we love the comments we get from people just because it's like, yeah, we are new at this. We know we're not doing it great, so therefore please tell us how to improve and we'll help you improve.
Absolutely.
We've had some comments along settings. People want some settings, so we started a little bit of bantering about that. At the moment we don't have a full idea of what we would want to do next. We just, I think at the moment, just know we want to do something, we're just not quite sure where it's going to be, but it will definitely continue to be in the line of the modern.
Oh, cool, cool. Yeah, when I think of modern, it just seems like most guys I know who play modern, there's a lot of people who are into the kind of tactical military, you know, kind of genre.
We have thought about that, putting out a book that's more geared towards that specifically. You could pretty much build a game just off of our first book, the main Modern Path, you know, Heroes of the Modern World. You could do a military campaign. A lot of it, we've talked more about getting into specific settings for our books, and that would be something that we would do as far as doing a military type, you know, style of game. But yeah, we've left a lot of the world building, so to speak, up to the GM that's going to run the game. We pretty much have concentrated on just getting the mechanics out, and we give you the tools to play. The idea for what you want to play is pretty much, you know, up to the GM at this point. But we're going to work on those things next.
Yeah, well, that might just be a smart decision, because that's usually what sells best in my experience, especially in modern products, is the rules, the crunch. And
right.
Pretty much any GM is going to use it. It's got their own idea anyway about the world they want to set it in. So.
And that's actually been interesting, because we actually had both ends of those comments. We had the people saying, we love it, all you've got is mechanics, you give me everything I need and nothing more. And we also get the other side of people saying, hey, where's the fluff? We actually like some of the fluff. We want some of the fluff. So we definitely, obviously, as you see from the books, we definitely went for the mechanics side of thing. And there's that thing about, okay, how much fluff should we actually put in?
Yeah, I don't know. When I used to work with Chuck Rice at Vigilance Press, his rule was always try to keep it half and half, you know, some new crunch and some new fluff, but leaning more heavily towards the crunch just because, you know, most of your GMs are going to buy it. And like I said before, they kind of have an idea of the world they want to put it in. But
absolutely. Yeah.
There is a contingent of guys who hang out in the forums and love to talk about the fluff in books. And there's some guys I don't even think the game. I know in the Atomic Think Tank for Mutants and Masterminds, we got some dudes who, I don't know if they've run a game in years. They just love hanging out in the settings. Talking about the various, you know, different comic book worlds and the different supplements and stuff. So, yeah, there's all kinds of audiences out there. But
well, you know, when we were putting our books together and, you know, just from the mechanics of it with a little bit of fluff, we started to see how many pages these books were going to be.
Yeah.
And if we were to add a bunch of fluff, you know, the books would be much bigger and it would just take a lot longer to put up. So that's why we kind of stuck to mainly just the mechanics of it.
Right. And printing costs.
And printing costs, yes.
Printing gets expensive, especially with POD.
Yes.
Hey, you guys are one of the few companies I've seen and guys I've talked to who are doing POD through RPG Now. Can I ask how that's going for you?
Rough.
Really?
Black and white goes in easy, but when you want to do a color, we don't have any training or background in this, so it's all new. And when you're trying to do it, they want real specific details, and it's difficult.
That's actually, I've heard that from several different publishers, that the level of specification they want is kind of hard to come up to even for guys with some experience.
Well, I'm trying. The black
well,
and white
nice,
there.
Yeah. It's nice to hear that even guys with experience are having trouble with it, because we've been pulling our hair out about it sometimes. So.
Yeah, I've heard that from several publishers, actually, yeah. So it's not you guys. You guys aren't the only ones by any stretch. So.
Well, that's good to hear, yeah.
Definitely not. Now, before we get going, you guys have mentioned that you're getting some other companies who've kind of pitched in and they're doing modern products using your rule set.
Yeah, we've had some guys. Well, first of all, I think one of the things that sets our company apart is that we have complete HeroLab support. That's something that a lot of the you know, third party publisher, so to speak, don't do. And that's all Kevin's. That's Kevin's world. He is our Hero Lab guru. He knows way more about it than everybody else. But, you know, we definitely want to, you know, thank everybody at Lone Wolf because, you know, they've been tremendous with their support. And, you know, we've worked hand in hand with them a lot in getting our book compatible with Hero Lab. So you can, it's fully integrated.
That is a pretty big deal. I'd forgotten I'd seen you guys on there. That's there aren't many publishers who come through all their hoops to get themselves certified. So that's a feather in your cap. Kevin, is that when you actually author a kit for Hero Lab? Is that a lot of coding, or how do you do that?
It's a lot of work. A lot of coding. It's actually easier than the print on demand. It just takes a lot of work, and I get a lot of help. I have other people helping me out with it, but it's coming along good.
Okay, cool. What's up next in your guys' release schedule?
Well, we got several things in the hopper that we're kind of deciding on which way we want to go. The Magic book was our obvious choice for the second book. We've got things lined up. We haven't quite started working on, but we're thinking of, getting into maybe like a superhero book, going in with, the superpower mechanics. We could do more of a, the Shadow Hunter type of deal.
I'm pushing for superhero, Mike. You got to help me out. Tell them that's what we want, right?
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of superhero systems, and there are a ton of good ones out right now.
That's what I want.
There are. It would be a big competition out there.
See, there's so many good superhero systems. It's already got enough, in my opinion.
Well, I can see both sides of that issue. Not to cut you off, but Pathfinder is huge right now.
Yeah.
If I was a businessman, and if I was a businessman, I wouldn't be involved in RPGs. If I was going to assemble on one venue for a new superhero world, making something that goes, along with Pathfinder would be the direction I would take. Just because, Pathfinder depends on who you talk to as big or bigger than D20 right now.
I think they have gotten to that level, absolutely. They pretty much become the standard for fantasy gaming, for sure. But their rules are pretty solid. I think they're popular with a wide group. So.
Yeah. So that's there's a big audience to pull from. But yeah, like I said, there's Mutants and Masterminds. There's Icons.
There's Hero System. I mean, it goes on and on.
Yeah, I guess just talking to Brandon Blackmore on Facebook today. He's writing another Heroes game even as we speak. So it's I think it's almost one of those things. They say every guy really wants to write a science fiction novel deep inside. I think every guy who's a game designer really wants to do a superhero system at one point.
You might be right about that. A lot of us do. As far as other people we want to thank, the guys over at the Pathfinder SRD, John, he's been really good with updating our stuff and getting our stuff out there. He's one of the big reasons that our name has gotten out there. Just having that up there has been a real thrill for us.
He's a good guy. I had him on the podcast last month.
We listened to that. It was very good. Yeah. But, the other guys that are doing stuff on their own but basing it on our modern path rules, there's a guy coming out, James Miller from Scrying Eye Games. He's doing a whole zombie apocalypse type setting, and he's actually adapting his game to several different systems, and ours is one of them, and we're thrilled to be included in that. That's very cool. So.
Oh, cool. Yeah, wow, he's got a bunch of products too. I'm over his page right now.
Yeah.
All right, cool. So Scrying Eye is doing some zombie stuff. Who else is doing some products and using your guys' rules?
Well, I know the guys at Fantastic Gallery. They've introduced a new archetype based off of our system called the Sensitive, and I don't know if they have more planned. Kevin's been talking to them.
Yeah, they want us to work with them on I think Sisters of Rapture. I think that's what it is, and that should be coming out fairly soon, I guess.
You know, with a title like that, I'm going to have to ask you for some more details. You say Sisters of Rapture?
Yeah.
Are these psychics, or what kind of characters are these?
I think it's a female cult, a religious cult type. They have a few different things, but I think that's the gist of it.
Okay.
But I think they want to convert or make an archetype for our system.
Okay. And that's a fantastic gallery. And I'm looking at their sensitive right now.
Yes, yes. Okay. And he also has a Hero Lab data set for that, too.
Hey. Now, sensitive, this is kind of like ICW people kind of character, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, that makes sense. All right, cool. Wow, you guys, you know, for first-timers, you got two other companies wanting to help you out and put out products using your rule set. That's, you know, that's kind of a big deal.
Well, you know, we first put the first book came out last April. So it's been, you know, a little less than a year, and actually I think we're all a little amazed at, you know, this small little ember that we started has kind of fanned into a, you know, a good-sized little flame going. So we're very thrilled. I hope it just, you know, it continues to grow. We're going to do our best. You know, we do want people to bear with us because we're definitely not professionals at this. But we're definitely, you know, we're going to do what we can. So
I think that's kind of the nature of the I hate to call it industry because I think it's more of a hobby sector. But you know, you can't learn as you go. You know, I think that's what
true.
I, and heck, I mean, if you've been reading this stuff for long enough, every once in a while you see some of the. Some of the more established companies do something, you're like, oh, okay, this is really a guy in his own living room.
Yes, that's really what we are. We're just a bunch of guys sitting around in our living rooms and coming up with ideas and trying to put them down as coherently as we possibly can.
You guys think about doing, you know, maybe the occasional adventure here and there?
As far as, you mean putting out like a module or something like that? Or
Yeah, exactly like that, yeah.
That goes hand in hand with what you're talking about with all the fluff, you know, from earlier, and we haven't really concentrated on that. I think moving forward, you know, projects would probably gear more towards, you know, specific genre settings and game campaign type settings. I don't know if we would actually do an actual, like, a adventure module or anything like that. So.
Yeah, a lot of people have asked us about that, to do it. Kind of like Pazio, how the adventure pass and all that, and I don't know, it's pretty tough. There's a lot more work into this than we initially thought.
Yes, much.
I definitely feel you on that. Now, the only reason I bring it up is that's one of the first things people look for is, hey, here's a cool new rule set. I want to use it for my group, but what am I going to do? And just having, you know, maybe even just a short introductory adventure, it can kind of be a, you know, like a gateway.
Well, that's definitely something to think about. I don't know. I think all of us have kind of always been in the school that we've always kind of come up with our own adventures. And I think that we kind of expect everybody else to do that. I mean, you know, if you're given the tools and the rule systems to play a game, you should let your imagination take control and come up with where you want to play and how you want to play and, you know, like that. So,
fair enough. All right, guys. Well, hey, so it sounds like we're kind of still debating maybe doing different genres, and some of you want to do superheroes, and some of you aren't so sure if you want to do superheroes. any other ideas that are being debated right now?
Well, the Shadow Heroes, we're thinking about that.
Now that would be like a Monster Hunters kind of thing, or what is that?
A little bit. We're thinking like the vampires, the werewolves, you know, that's real big right now. And the hunter part. We're kind of kicking around that idea. That's kind of where I'm leaning.
Well, would that be with you'd have player characters who could be the monsters, you know?
That's correct.
As well as a hunter. Oh, kind of like World of Darkness, but in Pathfinder.
Kind of like that, yeah. Yeah, kind of like, to get cheesy with it, you could go with like a Buffy the Vampire Slayer or, you know, like the Supernatural show or something along those lines, yeah.
I wouldn't throw any rocks at you, man. I just watched Buffy Season 5 on Netflix last week.
Oh, it was a great show. Oh. Great show, yeah.
Yeah.
It's one of those things. Everyone loves it. How can you beat it? You have fighting, you have young people, you have the vampires. It's fun.
Yeah, and there's a musical episode.
Yes, there is.
Yes, there is.
Yes, there is.
I like musical theater way too much for a straight man, but that's probably my favorite episode of the series. So... Well, cool. All right. Well, I'll be interested to see what you guys come up with next. It sounds like there's a bunch of different ideas competing for limited resources right now. So I'll be interested to see what comes out on top. Let's see. So anything else we'd like to cover in this podcast? Anything else you guys want to talk about? Anyone else you want to thank before we close?
Well, I think we want to give out a couple of special shout-outs. Kevin's wife, Ruth, has been a great help with the webpage and just consulting on art and everything like that. Our good buddy Alex Winston has provided us with some art. We're trying to get him to do more. So if Alex, you ever listen to this, that's a big hint for you.
I did.
Go ahead. No. Well, our good buddy Michael McNeil, he's playtested and just crunched a lot of numbers for us. Scott Crossan for playtesting and Hero Lab stuff. The guy over in Germany named Josh, he made character sheets for us. I mean, individual people are jumping in and helping us out, and they're really excited about it. So, we appreciate everything these guys are doing for us. So.
It's almost like a community effort to get this project going.
Yeah, everybody wants it, so it's good that people are helping us out, too.
You know, at our level, I think that's almost the best kind of success. Is when you get community people interested in your stuff and helping you out.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, cool. Hey, you guys know Josh in Germany?
Yes, that's him.
Damn, I haven't seen Josh in Germany in about 10 years, man. He owes me like $10.
You can track him down. So.
I went to Germany last year. I was all Josh.
Yeah.
Funny, didn't leave me alone.
There's only one Josh in Germany. You know that, right?
I was just in the wrong place, I guess. I was looking for you. They were like, Auslander Graus. I was like, all right. So, all right, well, cool. I did not know you guys had a website. What is the URL so the listeners can check it out?
It's just GameRoomCreations.com.
All right, cool, cool. So GameRoomCreations.com, I'll put that in the show notes, too.
And we got a Facebook off.
Okay, so go on Facebook and search for Game Room Creations, and you guys are there as well?
Yep.
Okay. Well, all the cool kids are doing Twitter these days. You guys on Twitter?
I'm too old for Twitter, I think.
It's on Twitter, but we don't check it.
Yeah, I understand.
My life is busy enough without having to check Twitter every 10 minutes. So.
Yeah, I know that feeling. I'm almost tempted to give up Facebook myself just because it takes up so many cycles during the day. I have friends who will call me and say, hey, I need something in Castleville. And I'm like, I'm at work. It's 10 o'clock. What's wrong with you? Get off the cell phone and get a job, Slacker. But, it's for some people, it's their whole life. So, all right, cool. Well, hey, ending on kind of a different note, you guys seen any good movies lately?
Oh, man, no. Let me get to the movie. I have small children and no.
Movies are funny.
We got some Cars, too.
Sherlock Holmes is good. And Rise of Planet Apes, that was great.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw The Darkest Hour. That was actually a lot better than you would think.
I'll keep that in mind, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Barry, I see you just leaned way back in your chair.
I was taking it easy,
Okay.
Relaxing a little bit, looking at the ceiling.
That's what you get for using video. So I'm guessing you don't go to the movies much, huh?
Not recently, no. Bit of travel with work, which is why I'm actually up in the cold north at the moment.
Where is the cold north for you?
For me, New Hampshire at the moment.
Oh, that is cold north. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know. So am I.
I'm in Colorado. It was cold here 2 days ago, and it's 60. It was 60 today, so it's a little strange weather here. Hey, you guys are all gamers. I'm guessing you read comic books, too, or not so much?
Yeah. I know Chris and I definitely keep up with comic books.
Yeah, definitely.
What are you guys liking right now?
I've always been a fan of the X-Men. You just can't get rid of them.
Yeah, that's true. And I'm a big fan of Green Lantern, how bad that is. And so I'm really excited to see the new movies coming out.
A lot of movies.
Supposedly there are going to be some new Green Lanterns coming out, so that would be cool.
Yeah, they're making a sequel.
Yeah.
So I used to compare being a Green Lantern fan to being a Chicago Cubs fan.
Let's see, being a Cubby.
Yeah, because you wanted to love them. And, I mean, I'm still a Green Lantern fan, and I'm glad they got, found it kind of franchise and that it could be. But, the movie was, what, you guys like the movie?
I did.
Yes, I did. Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, I just got it on DVD.
Yeah, I enjoyed it myself. I think maybe it, I don't know. I don't like Ryan Reynolds a lot, but I think he was okay, and the rest of the movie I enjoyed. I think he put Nathan Fillion in the role. That would have been a little bit happier, but you know.
Well, I think I have a problem with guys who play two different roles as two different superheroes. Because he was in the, you know, the Wolverine Origins.
Yeah.
He had established, sort of, his, I mean, his character did die, but still.
Oh, it's okay.
He jumped
Marvel
over.
And DC. He can do that.
Oh, wait, you didn't stay past the credits, did you?
Oh, that's right, he does.
He's Deadpool, he doesn't die.
He is Deadpool, it totally bastardized Deadpool, but that's okay.
It's in the movie.
It's bad.
So, you guys following the new DC at all? I guess if you're a Lantern fan, you must be.
Not a whole lot. I have a little bit. I'm more of a Marvel fan, to be honest with you. Avengers, X-Men, stuff like that.
I've been reading Marvel more and more. I hate to say it, but like especially the Dan Abnett stuff. The Annihilators, Killers and Villains for Hire. I've been enjoying that stuff lately.
Oh, yeah.
Good stuff. Yes, yeah. It is.
You guys read Atomic Robo?
No.
Well, you should, goddammit. Sorry. It's a good book. Pick it up if you get a chance.
So, okay.
So. All right, cool. Well, let's see. We've covered what your products you got out right now. We've covered the contentious debate over your directions in the future.
Yeah.
We have thanks to various contributors and associates who are helping you out. Anything else you want to cover on this front, guys?
I'm good. Kevin, Chris, Barry?
Just thanks for the comments. I mean, as I say, we've got a lot of comments online about the first book, and we're waiting for a lot of comments about the second book. We know there's definitely comments out there. And I'm saying, I mean, there's a lot for us to improve, and we know that, but it's like, hey, we got something out there. We enjoy doing it, putting it together, playing it, and hope some other people get the chance and just have the enjoyment with it that we did.
Oh, yeah. And we'd like to thank you, Mike, for letting us talk to everybody. Because you got a lot of listeners out there, so, you know, that's good.
Yeah, Flatter will get you everywhere, Chris.
That's right.
I think I have a couple hundred listeners all together, but, you know.
That's okay. That's a couple hundred people that wouldn't normally listen to us. So
that's true.
Well, I think that most of that's my extended family. But, yeah.
That's fine.
As long as they buy the book, that's fine. We don't mind.
Yeah, right. Really. You have a lot of cousins, man. That's okay.
Well, you know, there's that Mormon side of the family. It gets cold in Utah and they get busy. So, you know. So, guys, it's been a real pleasure talking to you. I'd like to have you back on maybe in 6 months or so, see what you're doing.
Absolutely. Yeah. Get in touch with us, man.
All right. Sounds good. All right, fellas. Thanks. Appreciate your time. Thank you very much. And to the listeners, thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Banff Podcast, and we'll catch up with you next time.